The following podcast is a B&E Network exclusive. Welcome to B Movies and Ebooks, episode 59. On this episode, we're going to discuss Zombies and Goosebumps, the film versions. Not that there was a book version to Zombies, but
I would totally read a book version to Zombies.
Anyway, but yeah, we're not really covering any books this week. So, welcome to B Movies.
We're your hosts.
Yeah. So, anyway, what's new with you, Brian?
Not too much. Let's see. I went and saw, the new X-Men movie.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was pretty good. I do think that these, like, the reboot X-Men movies, and so, like, First Class and Beyond have been better than the old, ones from the early 2000s.
No, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I like X-Men movies. I know a lot of people, for some reason, that's like a franchise that the fanboys always tend to hate on. And I think that honestly, the reason being is part three was crap.
Part three was terrible.
But I mean, so?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, now it's largely ignored.
What, part three?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much stuff that happened in this one that would have happened in part three. You know, even if the timeline was the same.
Yeah.
Right. Like Angel was in it and he was not the same character. Jean Grey was in it and it's just completely different. So I think what they're trying to really hone in here is X3 didn't happen.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So that was the end of X3 whenever Jean Grey dies.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking that was two. But either way, yeah, three was terrible. But I've had conversations with people that were like, you know, there's never been a good X-Men movie. And like, no, you're wrong. Part one and two were good. I don't care what anyone says. And First Class was awesome.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think another part of it is like, there's so much history in the X-Men, right? Like, their comics and their history is super convoluted.
Yeah.
Right. And so if it's not that,
like if it's not in the continuity that they're hoping they get mad,
then people, get pissed off.
People are the worst.
Speaking, I know.
So anyway, so how was Apocalypse?
I remember whenever he was first shown, like he looked a lot like Ivan Ooze from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. Like he was a pretty good actor. What's his face? What's his Isaac something?
Oscar he, Isaac? No.
Oscar. Yeah. Oscar was Isaac. He? The dude from Star Wars.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. He did a pretty good job. I mean, it was very unclear on what his mutant powers actually were.
Yeah.
Which fell in pretty much in line with the comics.
Like he just pulls a power out randomly.
That's pretty much what happens.
Yeah. From what I've seen, some of the CG looked a little bad, but.
Well, from what I saw yesterday, some of the CG still looked a little bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And so did you watch it before or after Comic-Con or what was it? Space City Comic-Con?
After.
Okay. Well, cool. So you were already in the comic-y mood.
Oh yeah, totally. I was living the life.
Yeah.
No, I mean it was all right. It was pretty good. You know, and yeah, some of the CGI was bad, but it suffered from the like Star Wars prequel thing where it was just like a couple of people in a completely CG environment.
Yeah, it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was enjoyable. If you like the new X-Men movies, then you should check it out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I haven't seen any of them except for part three that I didn't like to some degree. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I mean, there's been some that I like more than others, but.
What?
I like them all exactly even. Speaking of which, did you watch The Preacher?
I have not.
Episode? Okay. So I haven't read much of the reviews and stuff, so I don't really know how well it was regarded.
I know, so I've seen some on some of the comic book sites that were like, it was amazing.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I went in with very low expectations because that's one of the few comic books that, like, I really, really like. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a big comic guy. And so I went in with low expectations, and it's not the same, but it is. It's as if they totally retconned the series, but kept the characters.
Yes. So, like, the feel is still the same?
Yeah. And, you know, I was a little iffy about the fact that it looks like it's all going to stay in this town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know...
It's like, how does Cassidy show up?
Yeah, well, so he just goes to that town. He just shows up in a bar, which easy, is totally in character.
Enough. Yeah.
And so, anyway... But yeah, it's really like if I'd never read the comic and just saw this, I would totally love it. Mm-hmm. But knowing the comic, like I really like where they're going, and I'm not gonna pull the gripey fanboy crap. You know, yeah. I think that it, from what I'm seeing, I don't think that it's really gonna suffer from the lack of being able to say the F word. Which is honestly what it boils down to, HBO versus AMC. Yeah. I don't think it's going to suffer because they're showing a lot of gore early on. And I think that it's really, really going to be good.
So, cool.
Anyway, that segment was sponsored by AMC.
I wish.
I'll tell you.
I wish it was sponsored by AMC.
I'll tell you my real feelings later. No. But yeah, well, anyway. So what else? What else you got?
Rodney from Long Box Small Talk and I went to Space City Comic Con yesterday.
Yeah,
and he might be there again
today.
Today he was thinking about it because apparently he got his media passes.
Yeah,
and so we were VIPs yesterday.
Oh, did y'all get to do anything cool?
We didn't, but
that's totally in line with
I think we could have. No, it was good. It was a good mix of, you know, there was like people there, you know, like appearances and artists and vendors. You know, it wasn't like there was 90% vendors and then like three people signing stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
it was like a third, a third, a third.
Yeah. So. Now, what I find odd is that one kind of popped up just a few years back, right?
I think so.
Because Comic Palooza has been going on for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then that one popped up, but they're in the same, like it was it at NRG or George R.
It
Brown?
It was NRG.
Oh, okay. Well, Comic Palooza is at George R. Brown, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But I mean, they're both in giant venues, so I would assume that. Like, you know, the vendor list and guest list should be good. I really don't. Basically, what I'm saying is I didn't foresee, you know, I don't know, Peter Mayhew as the only guest. and then just a ton of vendors.
I love Peter Mayhew. He's on Reddit all the time.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like actual Peter Mayhew. Yeah. And like people will talk, like they'll say something about Chewbacca, right? And then he'll just reply.
Yeah,
and it's like, does he have like a Google alert or something?
Well, what I think is funny, same thing, the British author Ramsey Campbell. I think he's British. I could be wrong, but whatever. Anyway, he's a great author, but he pops up on horror and horror lit a lot. And as just like, hey, guys, did y'all see this? Like not promoting himself, not doing anything. And like one day I happened to be like, are you the real Ramsey Campbell? And he's like, yeah. And then I look and I'm like, huh, that's totally bizarre. And then a bunch of people are like, trust me, he is. So I guess. And so I clicked his thing and like his name and saw that, yeah, he's super active on Reddit. But huh. I don't know. I find it funny whenever that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah, like actual celebrities.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, well, cool.
Yeah.
So what was your takeaway from there?
The entire cast pretty much of Sons of Anarchy were there.
Like, even what's his face? Perlman?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then also Next Generation, like Star Trek Next Generation, like the majority of people were from that were there too.
Was Whoopi?
No, I didn't see Whoopi.
Damn.
But what's weird to me though is there was much longer lines for Sons of Anarchy than anything else.
That like, makes there, sense.
There was even some Doctor Who people. There was a couple of X-Men. There were like Power Rangers and stuff like that. You know, usual comic book stuff. And then, but then the line to meet the like main guy from Sons of Anarchy went like around the place.
Yeah. Well, I could see that. Honestly, though, it kind of feels like a lot of the Doctor Who mania has died down.
Yeah.
Is it they changed doctors or something?
No, they're taking like a season off.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I'm saying even over the past like year, like 2 years or something, was there a change or something? Because it seems like for a while, like there was about a 2 year period where you couldn't go anywhere without seeing like... I mean, you could go places, but if you went to like Walmart or Barnes and Noble or anything, they always had like Doctor Who sections.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of gone.
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I know like my wife in particular does not like the new companion that he's had for like 2 years.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah. And we actually stopped watching it because she didn't like her.
Do you like her?
I mean, she's okay. She's normal companion stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've only watched the first episode twice, you know,
the mannequins.
Yeah. So I can only assume it's about mannequins.
So. It's his greatest enemy, mannequins.
But, yeah, well, cool. So would you say that like it was, if you didn't have the free passes, like was it something that people should go for? Like, was it really, really cool, or whose audience like is it targeting? Is it targeting just general pop culture, or is it targeting comic books?
I think there was a lot of general pop culture things there. Mm-hmm. Like there were some, you know, there were definitely comic book stuff represented. There was other like fandoms and stuff like Supernatural and junk like that definitely had a representation. There was even like there was Jurassic Park stuff. There was vintage video game stuff. There was even this guy that made like handmade basically steampunk vampire hunting equipment.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
He had like a big booth and stuff. You know, but there was a lot more towards comic books. You know, there was a whole bunch of cosplay people. But what I think impressed me the most was there was a lot of artists and actually authors there. You know, there was a whole section of it that was just like independent comic book artists.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And things like that. So Christopher Mim was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I talked to that guy again.
We need to cover those on the podcast.
We should. No one knows what we're talking about. We need to cover those.
Well, I mean, if you haven't seen a Christopher Mim movie, I can't imagine they go for very expensive on Amazon. So I would say if you're into old Twilight Zones, And old 50s type movies.
If you were into like old 50s movies that had even less of a budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fantastic. But I mean, there was something there for everyone, basically. If you're into like general nerd culture, you know, if you're into like sports or something, the Dash were there.
Who is that?
like a soccer team.
Who the hell's the Dash?
I think it was the Dash, or maybe that's
Dynamo.
Well, no, I thought didn't they like rebrand or something?
Wait,
or is the Dash like the? I don't even know.
We're the wrong people to talk soccer or football. but yeah, so there was no like wrestling representation there?
There was. it's the women's soccer team.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Jim Hacksaw Duggan was there. Uh-huh. Chevy from Toxic City.
My favorite wrestler.
No. They had a booth there, right, this year. And he got an autographed 2x4 section of Jim the Hacksaw Duggan's.
That's pretty cool.
He also got a autographed machete from Danny Trejo.
That's amazing.
Yeah, apparently he was selling machetes. Like
like real machetes? Yeah,
yes, like actual legitimate machetes. Like Chevy didn't bring it with him. He had a stack of machetes he was selling.
That's got to be an interesting like stop. They stopped Brent and Danny Trejo with 1,000 machetes.
Oh, man.
Well, that's cool.
It's good stuff.
All right. I have does that wrap up
my live report from?
Yeah. Okay. So Adam Sandler dropped a movie on Netflix this week as part of his Netflix deal. Right?
Yeah. And do you wonder how much that deal was for?
It was like $100 million for six movies.
Jesus.
Like, so they gave him, now I think a percentage of that went toward funding some of the films. I don't know. But I mean, these aren't like low budget films. Did Ridiculous Six look low budget?
No, not at all.
Yeah. And this didn't look low budget either. It was called The Do-Over. All right. I think I got chum scrubbered here. And you know,
chum scrubbered?
Well, remember how I was talking about like last episode? How like sometimes you watch a movie and then you rewatch it and it's crap, but the first time you were like, I really liked it.
Yeah.
And that happened big time with The Chum Scrubber, right? And so I think I got chum scrubbered here because I watched it. I thought it was enjoyable and probably his best film since Funny People. I'm not a fan of, and I don't think I'm alone in saying that like Jack and Jill and Grown Ups and Grown Ups 2 and all those kinds of movies really aren't good. And I actually thought that this was kind of a return to form. It wasn't iconic, but it was actually kind of like him doing Pineapple Express. Like, I mean, take the weed out. Well, no, there was still weed in it.
No, so I'm just imagining like a alternate world where he starred in Pineapple Express. Maybe even playing both characters, Jack and Jill style.
No, like it was him and David Spade, and he tells David Spade that he's like this government agent, and then he takes him out. David Spade's whole life is shit, and then he takes him out on a cruise, like on this yacht, just for smoking weed and hanging out and drinking beer and stuff because his life is crap. And then he blows up the yacht and he's like, guess what? I just, you know, you're officially dead, you know? And so they go on this like adventure where they take these other people's identities, these people that died, take their identities, and then they're living in exotic locations. And then it turns into kind of like, it felt almost like Pineapple Express meets Fletch. Cause it had these, it had this like overarching, you know, conspiracy type, like where they're busting this conspiracy on this pharma company. I realize it's bizarre. Anyway, but it also had like horrific violence in scenes and like unfunny violence. You know how like Pineapple Express did? Like you get laughs, uncomfortable, unfunny violence. Or, yeah. You know? And so that's kind of how this was. I thought that what he was doing in this film was actually pretty good for Adam Sandler. Like, so I'm not, I would say if you're going out of 10, I'd give it about a 6, maybe. Maybe 5. I don't know. It's better than the ones that he's been doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, I read right before we started the show that generally on IMDb, it's getting a 6 out of 10, which is semi-high for IMDb and Adam Sandler.
Yeah, for a you know, recent Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. But the other press that it's getting, it's just getting slammed as a horrible thing. So either I just was in the best possible mood to watch this film.
Uh-huh.
Or people are railing unfairly against him based on, or maybe fairly, based on how bad everything else has been.
You know, honestly, either one of those could be the reason.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you're just in the right mood for just a dumb, fun movie. And that might have been what happened. I had nothing else going on Friday night. And I was like, oh, a new Adam Sandler movie? Let's do it. So anyway, but either way.
I made my wife watch Ridiculous 6 once.
It almost caused a divorce.
Pretty much. It was a rough time in the relationship.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would say, honestly, it's worth watching. Maybe I'm wrong. Hit me up at Craig Junkie on Twitter if I'm wrong. So anyway, what else you got?
I don't know. Like, depends on if we want to do some short news things.
Okay.
If you want, it doesn't really matter. There's not much to either one of them. Okay. And that's Michael Keaton's the new Spider-Man villain.
Uh-huh.
And Netflix has a crazy deal with Disney, Marvel, Lucasfilm, etc.
All right, which one you want to tackle first?
I don't know. Michael Keaton is the new Spider-Man villain.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Okay.
He's the Vulture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be cool. I mean, there's no other details for that because, like, the movie is just announced and I think it's, like, being released, like, 2018 or something like that.
Yeah, so even he doesn't know what's going on at this point. Yeah,
exactly. I'm sure he hasn't gotten a script. Like, he might not even know who the Vulture is.
Yeah, he's good. He's like, work! Great! Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Poor guy. I say poor guy. Richer than I'll ever be.
Yeah, he's freaking Michael Keaton.
Yeah, but I mean, he also, like, what was the last movie other than Birdman? Like, that was his return to Hollywood, basically.
No, he was in something.
White Noise?
He was else good recently.
As a supporting role or a starring role?
Support.
Well, yeah, he does that famous Keaton support.
Yeah.
As seen in Jackie Brown. It's true.
He was in Spotlight.
Okay. Well,
he was also in the Minions movie.
Well, that has to pay.
RoboCop.
Oh yeah, he was in RoboCop.
Need for Speed. Some video games.
All right. He was also in Clear History, a TV movie from 2013 where he starred as Joe Stumpo. Yeah. So, yeah. I'll go ahead and say
I was going down the list of IMDb of better movies and things, with the exception of the Minions.
Well, he was a random voice in Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
No, he probably wasn't a random voice. That movie or that game has like an actual story.
I know. I've played it and beaten it. He's a random voice. But no, I mean, he's one of the characters, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, this is great news for Michael Keaton.
I know it's been a while since he's been in a superhero movie.
Yeah. Well, do you want to go on your spiel about his superhero movies? I feel it building in you.
What?
That it's been a while since he's been in a superhero movie. Are we counting Birdman or not?
Yes. Oh my God. Birdman is a superhero movie.
Not really. I don't see it. And so your takeaway, you think he lived?
I think he had superpowers.
I think he just jumped to his death. I really do.
But she looks up, Craig.
Of course, that's what I'd hallucinate as I made a horrible choice, dying on the pavement as well. I'd imagine she looked up and I was right.
Can't you just have like a little hope?
Nope. I won't do it. So, all right. Well, yeah. All right. Well, I guess honestly, that's pretty much it. We can see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You want to jump into which one you want to do first? Goosebumps or Zombies?
Let's go alphabetical.
All right. We'll be back with our review of Goosebumps. Yeah. I failed in school. All right. We'll be back.
Awesome. That I'm going to check great. That I mean, out later.
There's nothing about that I dislike.
I don't think she's listened to episode yet.
It's so good.
It's still scary, right?
It makes me uncomfortable.
Oh. Scary as shit. New episodes every Tuesday. A B&D Network podcast. Scary as shit. We're not that scary.
And we're back with our review of Goosebumps. So, when this was announced, I was really excited, right?
I believe it was announced during Spooky Month.
Yeah, and it was, okay. No, was it? I know that it was like we a day that we it. Hit like some Twitter thing, like 300 followers or something. And I was excited that like that news happened on that day. So really it's nothing anyone else would care about. But when this when this was announced, I was really, really excited. And then for some reason I avoided it and I watched it as I fell asleep and thought that I watched more of it than I did. But then it hit me that no, I don't remember any of the plot, just some of the characters. So anyway, but yeah, this is the 2015 Goosebumps adaptation starring Jack Black and a bunch of other people that I don't really know the names, including Jan from The Office. I think she was Jan. And, no, she wasn't Jan. Anyway, Michael Scott's love interest in season 3 from The Office. And the coworker that everyone likes from Workaholics. So.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
Is that all you have to say about it?
That's pretty much it.
So here, I'll read the synopsis. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So a teenager teams up with the daughter of a young adult horror author, R.L. Stine, after the writer's imaginary demons are set free on the town of Madison, Delaware.
That's pretty much on the nose, right?
Yeah, that's...
It's what
that's
happens.
That's the plot. Yeah, that's exactly what happens. So, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think my wife... pretty much kept calling it Jumanji, and she was right.
It's totally Jumanji.
like it was Jumanji, but with them. That said, honestly, it did something that few films have done that I looked forward to. Like
it took Jack Black as a serious actor.
Well, that's actually where I was going with this.
Really?
That he didn't play Jack Black in this. You know, he wasn't like, wow, blah, over the gap. That's how Jack Black is.
Yeah, I had my eyes closed. I thought he was here.
He popped up. So anyway, no, he played a character and I really, actually really enjoyed this film. I don't think, I feel like maybe we had different things. I really enjoyed it. I thought that, okay. If you're wanting like a standalone Goosebumps tale or an adaptation of any of the books, it was a horrible job.
Yeah.
But if you're familiar with all of the characters and just want to see them pop up for some reason, like just nostalgia or whatever else, I really enjoyed it. I don't think it's a good movie, though.
I agree with you 100% on that. Like, I liked it. It was not a good movie.
But, I mean, does it have to be? Like, it's a kid's film, you know?
I think Hook
is a bad movie. We can agree on that, right?
Oh, my God. I watched the new Pan movie. That movie is terrible.
Why'd you watch it?
Because it's on HBO now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I saw one clip that somebody posted on Reddit that was all the pirates singing Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That happened?
Yeah. And then also they sing Blitzkrieg Bop. And I was like, I need to watch this movie to see how terrible it is.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Back anyway, to Goosebumps.
So, no. I mean, it doesn't have to be like freaking Shawshank or anything like that. All it needs for a kids movie is like a cohesive story and then maybe some fart jokes or something like that.
And I believe right? we got both on this.
I think we did.
I don't remember any of the fart jokes, but I'm sure they were there.
There was one at least.
Yeah. I will say that there's a part in the film where something is revealed and it's supposed to tug at your heartstrings, and it worked on me.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, definitely. I was like, no. But it felt like the end of Field of Dreams. Like, he can never go back. Have you ever seen Field of Dreams?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I thought that that was on our list of things that you...
I've like, seen parts of it.
Dude, you need to go back and watch
the whole thing.
It's good. I know you're not big into sports movies, but damn, that's a good movie.
Yeah, but that's more of a ghost movie than a sports movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
About like a father and son reconnecting after death.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like saying Maggie was a zombie movie.
Well, kind of, but I mean, this is sports. This is definitely sports related. I mean, you could argue the same thing about Moneyball. Is Moneyball a sports movie?
Moneyball was great.
Is it a sports movie? Or is it an economics movie?
Yeah, it's a movie about math. That's what that movie is about. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sandlot, Little Rascals.
What about them?
Oh, Hot Shots. That's a good sports movie.
Sandlot is definitely a baseball movie, though.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They play baseball in it. Yeah. I would argue Hot Shots is more of a baseball movie than...
Hot Shots?
No, I'm not Hot
Major
Shots.
League?
Major League.
Well, Major League is a baseball movie.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I think you're getting confused at like... None of them are going to be like watching baseball.
I'm saying I don't think Sandlot, I don't think the baseball, it was a plot driver.
Yeah, it was a subplot, but.
But I don't think it was the main.
No, it was just about growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's like saying that Stand By Me is about a dead body.
No, it's not. They play baseball multiple times in this.
Like the dead body is the star of Stand By Me.
All right, so Goosebumps. Sorry, I'm trying to reel it back. And I'm totally responsible for derailing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely, it tugged at my heartstrings in places. In fact, at the end, I was pretty sure it would not get resolved, the problem.
Yeah, and I was too.
I was fine with it not getting resolved.
I mean, it would kind of make more sense Goosebumpsy style, you know, that the plot doesn't really get resolved.
Yeah.
Because there's so many of those books that don't.
Yeah.
Are not in the best way, actually. But I agree with you. Like, I didn't necessarily see it coming,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know if it tugged at my heartstrings.
You weren't sad.
I wasn't expecting it to get resolved, though. So
I don't think that, honestly, sad, like the extreme emotions never really work on you.
I might be a robot.
Yeah, you may be like a sociopath.
I might be.
Because like this or like some of the real like, I don't know, like Summer I Died or any of the things that like push you one way or the other, you're just like, eh, I mean,
it was there.
Like, you're the anomaly that you can't really help. Okay, what's a movie you've cried at?
The Notebook.
You cried? What a weirdo. Nah, I'm just kidding.
That movie was sad.
Ah, dude. Marley and Me got me. And Big Fish. Big Fish got me at the worst. Like, I don't even really want to tell the story on here. I might cry. But my wife and I had been dating for like 2 months at this point, and I'd already seen Big Fish multiple times. So I know what it does to me. right? And so I was like, let's watch Big Fish. Have you seen it? And she's like, no. And so we watch it. And like the part toward the end, oh, you know, something horribly sad happens. Not only do I cry, like I bawl like a little baby, like just, oh my, like snot and shit and coming out of my nose, like bad crying. And she's just like, cool. Like just. It's the, I think that might be the only time she's ever seen me cry, really.
Oh my God. If that would have been like first date.
Dude, it was only like 2 months in. Like, I know. But yeah, every once in a while when we're scrolling past it, like on Netflix or whatever, she's just like, I feel her tightening up. Like, don't watch Big Fish. I don't want to see that again. Anyway, but yeah, so Notebook made you cry.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I mean, I don't know if it was because like it was actually emotional or it's just what I think that's what humans do when they watch that movie.
Yeah, you're emulating.
Yeah, it's like I'm just looking around. Everyone else is crying. So.
That's great. That's like the new season of Sunny. It reveals that Dennis carries a piece of onion in his pocket so that he can put under his eye to cry.
But anyway, so this movie was totally autobiographical, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so basically we haven't really gotten into the plot. So the main character kid, whose name escapes me right now, because mm-hmm. I watched this like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, this was supposed to be covered last week. Sorry about that.
Yeah. No. Zach.
Yeah.
Zach moves into a small town in Madison, Delaware. Mm-hmm. So it literally starts like every book of Goosebumps ever.
Exactly.
Okay. Because believe it or not, his mom got a new job, which is the exact like reason they move every single time.
Yep. Yeah. And they're mourning his father had recently passed away.
Yeah. And so... he moves in next door to R.L. Stine and his daughter, right? That's pretty much the plot. And then, so they go into R.L. Stine's house for some reason. I don't remember why.
Yeah.
And he's got him and his dorky friend go in there, right? And he's got all these like leather bound manuscripts of Goosebumps and, honestly, I kind of feel like the dorky friend was way more excited about that than he should have been.
Well, yeah. Well, I honestly, mean, like, though, that kid's face makes him look excited about everything. He's like a little Tom Petty.
And we all know how excited Tom Petty looks about everything.
No, he was on something where they called him like a little Tom Petty. Like, I think he was on a Workaholics episode.
He does look like a miniature Tom Petty, though.
Yeah.
That's incredibly accurate.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not me.
No, but I mean, I feel like I would be excited if I came into a room filled with leather-bound manuscripts of Goosebumps, but I'm not sure the average high school kid would be.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they open one of them on accident and unleash a monster. Abominable Snowman, yeah. Right, of Pasadena, I believe is
Abominable.
The title. Abominable.
Yeah.
Abominable.
Yeah. Hope and change.
He's like the president of all Abominable Snowmen. Uh-huh. I keep saying abdominal. It's just like Yetis with really ripped abs.
Or just those things that shock the shit out of your abs.
Yeah, he's just wearing one.
Constantly. Just Yetis doubled over.
No, so basically that happens, and then what, like Slappy gets out?
I don't know, man. They all come. They all just start coming. Yeah, Slappy gets out, and once Slappy gets out, he opens the other manuscripts, which unleash all the demons on the town. And I use the word demons very loosely.
I think I'm going to start calling them demons.
Just everything from an
everything.
Arlson.
From so, R.L. Stine.
One thing that they didn't focus on that I wish they had was the giant insect,
the mantis.
Yeah, that was cool. Like,
yeah, he would just show up at inopportune times, yeah, and eat people.
Yeah. Another thing that I noticed was the CGI and the cinematography in general was real inconsistent. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it'd be great CGI, sometimes it looked terrible. Like, yeah, when the Wolfman, when they're trapped at the store and R.L. Stein's stuck under the table and the Wolfman's drool drops on his nose and it looks like the fakest thing you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then, meanwhile, there's a Wolfman that looks real, you know? So it's, yeah, like,
and it's like broad daylight, well-lit store Wolfman.
Yeah. So, you know? So it was just hit and miss on a lot of that. And same thing with the cinematography. Sometimes it would switch over to literally what looked like iPhone footage, but mostly only when they were in the woods. So I don't know what happened there.
Well, didn't this movie, like, wasn't it made over a long period of time?
I think it had a lot of reshoots and rewrites.
Yeah. But there was a couple things that I really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. And I think the main one was the sort of importance they gave to Slappy, right? Like, it wasn't just one of his characters. It was like some sort of actual, like, weird part of his psyche almost that he had to get out and put on paper, you know? And like, they even used his, you know, Jack Black's voice as Slappy.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it was really, really clever, you know? And it was just like, it gave a little bit more weight to it than just like, oh, here's an evil dummy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It had a little bit of a psychological edge to it.
Yeah. No, I really, like I said, I enjoyed it. And my kind of building on the psychological thing, they started a lot more, like, it left you with a lot of unexplained questions,
mm-hmm,
rather than answers. But I think that that's good. Like, it's not totally indicative of just rewrites. You know? Uh-huh. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't know. I really, really enjoyed it. Now, I wonder how it fared with the kids that are unfamiliar with Goosebumps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's odd that, you know, they did this all, like, R.L. Stein's a character in this, and, like, basically a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
And he didn't write it. Like, so somebody's like, hey, I got this script, you're an asshole and you're kind of a loser, you just sit in your house, what do you think, you want money or not?
Like, what do you think?
But I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't have a lot more to add other than the fact that it was good to see these monsters again. I just wonder how it holds up to people unfamiliar with them in the first place. I think it's better than the TV show. But most things are. So,
well, I mean, it's completely different, though.
It's meta.
It's very meta. And it, like, towards the end, like, you know, the way they wrap things up, mm-hmm, you know, and it's just like, it gets really meta. And I liked it a lot. But it wasn't a good movie.
Yeah. I did like R.L. Stein's cameo at the end.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Mr. Black.
Yeah.
He's like, hey.
He's like, hello, like, Mr. Stein. Hello, Mr.
Yeah.
Black.
Yeah.
Like, that's so stupid. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to say 4 out of 5, dude. I really am. Like, I can only judge it. Like, you know, we like a lot of things that aren't good. Yeah. And I really can only see this through the framework that I am, like, that I see the world in. And so, like, honestly, if the Monster Squad is a 5 out of 5 film, then this is a 4 out of 5 film, neither of which, okay, will win awards.
I can see that. I appreciated the attention to detail. Because the Werewolf of Fever Swamp was wearing basketball shorts.
Yeah.
And that's what he was wearing in the book. So I think, yeah, I'll go three and a half out of five.
I'm surprised they didn't bring the mask, though. Yeah. The haunted mask, which is one of his pivotal.
There is a sequel coming out. Well, Goosebumps, another Goosebumps movie. I think it's Welcome to Horrorland.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that seems prime for adaptation, but I don't see it being a sequel to this film. You know?
No, I think it's like a spiritual sequel.
Unless, oh, well, at the end, there was one character that, you know, they did have that open ending. So unless he built a theme park.
Which seems a little out of character, honestly.
Yeah. But, yeah, so what'd you say again? What's your rating?
3.5
3.5 Yeah, you throw him a bone, too. So,
yeah. Anyway. It's not a good movie.
No, but it's fun.
It's fun, though. It was enjoyable. It's just basically running the gauntlet with a bunch of demons.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
It's like whenever you, it's like in a Mega Man game. Okay. I don't know how many Mega Man games you've ever played, but you beat all the stages and
make
then
it sound like I had just cup and string growing up.
It's like when you finally beat the last cup and string, right? Not even a ball. You don't have the cup and the ball. It's a cup and a string.
No,
you have
to catch the string. Mine's to talk to people, but no one on the other end to talk to. I'm just.
I thought you were going to try to catch the string in a cup.
I'm just holding the string out to like stuffed animals. Like when I'm five, talk to me. I'm so lonely.
No. So when you beat, like, you finally beat all the stages in a Mega Man game, and you have to go to the final stage where you beat, like, Willy, or I guess his name is Wily. It's not Willy.
Willy the abdominal.
I can't talk today. But you go there, and there comes a point at the end of the, like, boss stage where you have to gauntlet through all of the other robots that you beat previously.
Yeah.
Right? That's this movie.
Yeah. Or it's like the last Lincoln log that you put up. I don't know, man. Yeah, I would say, honestly, if you hadn't seen it and you have any interest, it is free on Netflix. Like, if you're paying for Netflix.
Presuming you pay for Netflix.
We're not going to get in the pro rating into TV shows. That 12 cents will go to watch this movie. So, anyway, I guess, want to come back with Zoombies?
Yes.
I got nothing else to say.
No, I think we're good.
Man, okay, yeah, so we live in like, the ghetto. It's like rough. They're just gangsters and shit. We have to keep all the windows closed.
Podcast makes us no money. We can't move.
Like, there's like a shootout going on regularly.
Why do you say shit like that? Why does he say shit like we live in the ghetto and there's shootouts regularly? Just for the clarity of the podcast, there's not.
Two versus three, nerds with beers and opinions.
A weekly podcast hosted by Cody, Kyle, and Greg.
New episodes every Thursday at bmoviesandebooks.com.
All right, we're back with our review of Zoombies, also on Netflix. This one, I think, unless you have a lot to say, it will be short and sweet.
Probably.
Okay. So this is made by The Asylum.
Mm-hmm.
It was not optioned to Sci-Fi, which could signal either Sci-Fi didn't want it or...
That could be red flags.
Could be. I took it, before I watched it, I took it as like, wow, this one's going to be good, finally. And something happened. So anyway, this, like, okay, so the summary, let me pull it up.
Oh, I got it on IMDb already, if you want me to say it.
Sure, go for it.
Okay. When a strange virus quickly spreads through a safari park and turns all the zoo animals undead, those left in the park must stop the creatures before they escape and zombify the whole city.
I guess. I mean, yeah, other than the whole city.
Yeah, because the city was literally like 20 miles away.
And
that was one of the plot points that was like they couldn't get people like to help them in time because it was going to take hours for them to get like to the safari park.
So really, this is Jurassic Park with zombie animals.
Yes, which, by the way, is an amazing premise.
Yeah. No, I okay, so you get to see, it starts with the monkeys, and you're not even 5 minutes in when a monkey's pulling out eyeballs.
Yes.
It's pretty awesome.
This movie had me at the beginning.
Yeah. So it starts with the monkeys. What comes next?
Giraffes?
Yeah. And that was like the realest giraffe attack ever.
It was pretty good.
I will say, okay, from my notes, this film had the realest giraffe attack ever, the worst child actor in history, and the best bird deaths ever filmed. But the CGI elephants were pretty terrible and horrible CGI, period.
Okay, so all right. This movie doesn't have much in the way of plot.
None.
It's them. It's like your typical zombie movie. You know, it's like them just trying to stay alive while there's zombies attacking. But it just happens to be zombie elephants and giraffes and warthogs and junk like that.
Yeah.
Okay. I will say there was a bunch of inconsistencies that completely threw me off. Okay. Okay. So the little girl... I'm going to get into spoiler territory here. The little girl is friends with a monkey named Kifo, right? He's like a gorilla.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And they like sign language talk to each other and junk.
That's
right?
Her best friend.
Her best friend. Okay. And they mention like that he's the only one of that gorilla species in like alive, right?
Yeah.
And then later, they're like, he's the only one in the city. And so it's like, I don't know. It's just weird. I know that's a little tiny thing, but I was very confused. It's like, should I care if this, like, if this gorilla gets, like, zombified, is it a whole subset of gorillas that become extinct? Or do I really not care?
I didn't care.
Okay. So they zombify him, which was awesome. Because they just go there.
Okay. Before you move on to anything else, can I interject another spoiler that I absolutely loved?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, spoilers. The very last animal that attacks them as they're leaving is this particular gorilla, right?
Uh-huh.
And the little girl goes, what's his name? Kifo?
Kifo.
Kifo, right? She's all excited, and he's coming at him all zombie-ish. Mm-hmm. They just shoot him right in front of her. Yeah. They kill her best friend. Literally, like her mom kills her best friend right in front of her. I could not quit laughing at just that thought. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But I just had to interject while we were talking Kifo.
There's lots of stuff about Kifo that doesn't make any sense. But okay. So speaking of the little girl again, she mentions at the beginning, like the main character lady, whenever they're taking the bus to the park, mentions that she had to bring her little daughter because she couldn't get the babysitter. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But then later she's talking to the new intern and she's like, or the intern's like, hey, does your daughter always hang out at the park? And she's like, yeah, she comes with me and she hangs out with Kifo and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, wait.
Well, I assumed that the babysitter's dead.
But I mean, it's like, you know, she talks about how it's basically an inconvenience that she had to bring her daughter. And then later it's like, oh, it's a totally normal thing that my daughter hangs out at the zoo park.
It's an inconvenience every day.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, when they're going... when they're first running from the zombies and they go to like Kifo's enclosure.
Yeah. Right?
Like they're in like the gift shop. Right. And they literally open a door into Kifo's enclosure from the gift shop. like not a security door or anything like that. It's like the door to exit and it exits right into a gorilla cage.
Yeah, but he's a nice gorilla.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's the only saving grace.
Okay, and two more things that really I don't understand about this movie. Number one, they have a tracking system on all the animals.
Uh-huh.
Right? And which is cool, whatever, you know, you RFID chip them, mark of the beast them, whatever you want to call it. Right? then, sorry, I had to. And so it tracks the animals around the park, right? Uh-huh. These little blue dots on a map. Cool, whatever. The dots turn red when they turn zombies.
Yeah, I noticed that too. Okay, here's what I thought though. Okay, no, and it might be, it might make sense. Think about it.
It might be they're dead.
Yeah, that's it's a warning because their body temperature's low. But yeah, yeah. No, I saw that and thought the same thing. Like, did they forecast? Like,
it's like, okay, ma'am, do you want the RFID chips that also track zombie animals? Yeah, I guess I'll spring the extra $5.
Yeah, I'd do it.
I'd do it too.
Like, if it was a $5 difference, because my dog's chipped. If I could go to a vet and find out if he turned zombie-ish, I would have sprung that money. It's kind of like, you remember a few years back whenever that some preacher had forecast the end of the world, and this service, like, you know, it was one of the few forecasts for the end of the world where everyone bought into it. No, but I mean, it was widely bought into. I think it coincided with 2012 or something. I don't know. So anyway, this company sprang up and it was one of the funniest and best ideas ever. And they're basically like, we're all atheists. So if y'all get taken, we're left behind. You want us to watch your animals? Prepay us. Right. And dude, they got like $1 million or something from people that were like, okay, I mean, we want our animals to be watched. So anyway,
that is so genius.
Well, yeah, I mean, and what they were offering was like, I believe it was like a good rate too. It was like $10. Just pay us $10 once, you know. And we'll totally take down your information. And, you know, you got to tell us where you hide your house key and stuff. So anyway, I thought it was kind of funny. But yeah, whatever.
It's so good. All right. Can we talk about one final thing?
Sure.
Okay. What the hell was their plan?
Yeah, they were just going to leave and let zombies...
No. But then they decided to go blow up the aviary.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So all I could make sense of that was because if the zombie birds got out, they could fly far away. Yeah. But this otherwise would contain it. But
okay, but they could have just... I don't know. They
done anything just, else?
Yeah. Because, like... the monkeys were going to the aviary, right? Yeah. And it's like they decided to blow up the aviary, but if they were going to blow up the aviary and any of the birds survived, it wasn't going to matter anyway. But they could have just maybe let all the birds out first, you know?
Yeah.
And then they would have just flown away, right?
Oh, I assume those birds were already zombified.
No, they weren't zombified when they came up with the plan.
Just killed, they just killed the birds.
Well, they were zombified eventually, but the original plan was just, we're going to go blow up the aviary.
So they were like, well, fuck it. I've always hated birds.
Yeah. Like, I was sitting there and I'm like, I was trying to follow the logic for the last like 20 minutes of the movie. And in my notes, I just have in all caps, I don't understand. Dude, like, I have no idea what is supposed to be happening.
I will say that like, I didn't even try to find the inconsistency or not try to find, but try to notate them because it's an asylum film.
Yeah.
Like we've got burnt so many times on the asylum. And for some reason we're like, well, this one will be different. No, we have like,
this one's like Edge of Tomorrow. It'll be good.
Yeah, not only that, we got burnt like 2 episodes ago, didn't we? We watched something, the one where they were going to different dimensions. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's because it's Monster Mayhem.
We're totally Stockholm syndromed from the asylum.
Oh, like, no, I'm about to give this movie like a 4.
All right. Okay. Well, I will say, okay, It's a totally plotless film about zombie animals, right?
Yeah.
And if it sounds like something you'd enjoy, then you're going to enjoy it.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, because this film was total ass. It was bad, but I loved it. I kind of loved it.
Oh, no, I did too.
That said, I'm not going to give it a high rating.
No, it's like a 2.5.
Because even though, because whereas like Goosebumps wasn't deep enough to be like a good movie, it still was a fun popcorn movie. This, I honestly think you invite 5 friends over and 3 of them leave hating you. Like if you invited them to watch this.
You have two friends now.
But I do think that like this looked much better than most of the
Silent
films.
Some of it looked really good.
Yeah, some of the CGI was fine. Some of it was terrible. But they're starting to actually make fun little movies.
You sent me that gif of them with the elephant, the picture of them with on the elephants.
Yeah. Now they're like starting to make fun movies, and like this kind of proves that, like, it's further proof that they're capable of doing it.
And honestly, if anyone from the asylum is listening, I write music.
You write better music than they use.
And I would love a job.
Yeah. I mean, because it sounds like they just kind of use sound bed type music. Yeah. Right? Or just like sure public domain type stuff.
I'll cut them a deal.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like, I do like now that they're doing stuff like this and versus the Mockbusters.
Yeah.
You know, because
I mean, in a way, this is Jurassic Park.
Kind of, but it even is like, this isn't Jurassic Park in the movie. Yeah,
they said that.
So whatever. But if they could only just learn how to craft like action scenes and build suspense, they'd actually make good movies.
Yeah.
But it may lose all the funness that makes the fun asylum stuff. But honestly, like, We live in a post Sharknado world.
Yeah, this is our life now.
Where I think that they just assume, just keep throwing a bunch of shit out there, something will stick.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. Overall, would you recommend it?
If you like crappy movies, most definitely.
Yeah, I feel the same. And what are you gonna rate it?
2.5.
I can't go higher than 2.5 in good conscience.
I mean, because if you see it on Netflix and you read the description and you're like, oh man, this sounds badass, and you watch it,
yeah, then that's
you're gonna hate it. But if you go into it knowing that it is an extremely low budget, crappy movie with bad CGI a lot of the times, you're gonna love it.
Yeah.
You know, if you go into it knowing what you're going to get, I think it's very enjoyable.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
But if you're expecting Jurassic Park with zombie animals,
no,
you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So check it out. It's on Netflix. There's not really much else I want to talk about, but I guess we will be dropping 2 episodes this week because we forgot y'all last week. Sorry. Yeah,
so stay tuned for a bonus episode.
Yeah. And I guess we'll drop them on the same day. Huh?
Sure, why not?
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, so check out the next episode where we won't have news, but we will have 2 more reviews for you. So
yeah.
And make sure to follow us at B&E Pod. Check out some of the new written reviews that some of the guys from Scary as Shit are doing on our bmoviesandebooks.com website, also available at bandepod.com.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to the master feed, the B&E master feed. Check out new episodes of us, Scary as Shit and 2 vs. 3.
Uh-huh.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.
The podcast you just heard is part of the B&E Network, brought to you by bmoviesandebooks.com.